If you want to see a long distance, stand on the shoulders of a giant. This bit of folk wisdom also works pretty well in the church. We certainly have no shortage of giants in the Christian church, whether you look for them in the theological greats of the past or your professors of today. However, you can only improve your vision if you remain on the giant's shoulders. Too many people, in attempting to improve upon the works of the giants, take a small step forward and a giant fall earthward, ending up face down on the ground. Take, as an example, the explanation of Dr. Martin Luther to the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." What does this mean? The kingdom of God comes indeed without our prayer of itself. But we pray in this petition that it may come unto us also. How is this done? When our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead a godly life here in time and hereafter in eternity. When trying to improve upon the work of this Reformation giant, some people, including some Lutherans, have an explanation which runs something like this: "Thy kingdom come." What does this mean? The kingdom of God can, of itself, barely come without prayer and our help. So we pray in this petition that we may do the necessary work for it to come unto us and those around us. How is this done? When we use sociological, psychological, and anthropological studies to determine how best we may induce people to believe God's holy word, so that our efforts, along with God's Holy Spirit, may lead us to lead a godly life here in time and hereafter in eternity. When we state in this way how some religious leaders understand the need to use sociological and other studies to help us increase God's kingdom, it is easy to see the conflict with God's word. Such people have fallen off the shoulders of that giant of the Reformation, Martin Luther, and have ended up flat on the ground. But let us beware of pointing fingers only at such people. The sinful flesh which inheres in each of us can and does impel us all to stoop to an anthropological view of the coming of God's kingdom. We focus on what we can do or could do when we think such things as the following: if only I had spent more time talking to him, perhaps he would not have left the church. I should have spoken more readily about God's love for each of us personally in my sermons. Then perhaps that family would not have left to join the Elka congregation just because they had more activities. If only I had connected better with the high school youth, perhaps that young college student wouldn't have joined a cult. If only I were as eloquent as my predecessor, perhaps my church would continue to grow. Such thoughts can come even to us who would not dream of viewing God's kingdom in the way mentioned earlier. Yet such thoughts are also anthropological, focusing on what we can or could do. Our reading from Hosea today reminds us that ultimately we all stand on the shoulders of the prophets and the apostles. Hosea shows us in the last few verses of his book the precise manner in which God's kingdom comes among us. Starting a few verses before the ones previously read, God speaks through Hosea. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. The initiative in healing Israel comes from God himself. God is the one who will heal them, even though they were backsliding. God does not look to Israel for help, nor does he expect it. The kingdom of God comes indeed without our prayer of itself. Hosea continues, speaking for God. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. The growth of Israel and the growth of the church comes from God himself, who is like the dew to Israel. Nothing more is needed, nothing more is required. God's dew is all sufficient. It creates a church whose roots are as strong and as deep as the roots of the cedars of Lebanon, or even as solid as the mountain of Lebanon itself. Against such a church, the gates of hell cannot prevail. God continues to carry out his promise given here in Hosea. Although some of the world's greatest philosophers and some of the world's strongest governments have attempted to destroy, or at least to weaken, the Christian church, God continues to strengthen the roots of the church. The philosophers and the governments are gone, but the church goes on and on. A God who can strengthen his church when everyone is against it has no need of men's efforts to achieve his purpose. Nations may be in uproar, but God's people will continue and increase. Hosea continues, Israel's branches shall spread. His beauty shall be like an olive tree and his fragrance like Lebanon. Because God is giving the growth, the church will continue to spread with unmistakable beauty and fragrance. This doesn't mean that everyone will notice the beauty of the church. On the contrary, those who are enamored of their own good works, mistakenly thinking they are beautiful, will never see the good works of the church which God has placed in it. Nor will everyone notice the fragrance of the church. The unrepentant sinners of the world will continue to cover up their own failings with such ideas as, I try pretty hard to do a good job. I'm certainly better than a lot of people. And after all, nobody's perfect. Such people will fail to notice that their own aroma cannot compare with the fragrance of the church. Only to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, is the beauty and the fragrance of the church apparent. In the next verse, Hosea turns from the church as a whole and what God is performing in it to those individuals who are called. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall be revived like grain and grow like the vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. In the church, there will always be persons who will come to faith in Christ Jesus and grow in the faith. God continues to call individuals to faith throughout the world and here in this place. We pray in this petition that the kingdom of God may come unto us also. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? God continues speaking, I have heard and observed him. I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me. In this next to last verse of the book, Hosea shows us God's plan for building his church. God speaks very emphatically of what he has done and continues to do. In the verse, God compares himself to a cypress becoming green, not only to denote the shelter which he will afford to his people, but as the true tree of life on which the nation finds its fruits, a fruit which nourishes and invigorates the spiritual life of the nation. I would like to take credit for that last beautiful statement about the tree of life, but it comes from Kyle in his commentary on Hosea. You have to take giants where you find them. Like a vine and its branches, those who are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ will bear fruit. God brings about the rooting and grounding in Christ Jesus today as he has always done. In the Old Testament era, God came to the people through his word and the various sacraments which applied the benefits of the suffering and death of the coming Messiah to the people. In the New Testament era, God continues to come to his people through his word. He continues to apply the benefits of the suffering and death of his Son, Jesus Christ, to people through the sacraments of holy baptism, holy absolution, and holy Eucharist. The kingdom of God comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead a godly life, here in time and hereafter in eternity. During this Advent season, we look forward not only to the first coming of Jesus Christ, but also to his second coming. Hosea reminds us in these verses that Jesus Christ will have a bride ready for him when he returns. We need have no fear that the church will disappear from the earth. The church, the bride of Christ, is deeply rooted and cannot be displaced. God will make certain that his kingdom will have people around his throne hereafter in eternity. God will continue to make certain that he calls faithful pastors to preach the message of salvation alone in Jesus, the crucified one, and to administer the sacraments rightly. This is the way he has willed the church to grow and his kingdom to come. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.